in the right place at the right time. Tremendous little book here. So much in these 25 verses. Now, Pastor Simeon preached a series, I believe. I'm not sure how many messages were in that series. How many messages, Pastor, were in your series?
Nine
messages. So that shows just how much is there. We can imagine, as a preacher, what a time I had looking at this and trying to work through what we really needed for camp. So camp messages are quite different. That's why we had Big John up here yesterday. They're quite different. I wouldn't recommend Big John on the platform for a normal sermon, for a normal Sunday. Never know what might happen. Big John, and I wouldn't like to take him on, that's for sure. But apparently Blake thinks he could flatten him. Oh, he's reneging now. He's going, no. He's found out. I'll let you into another secret. Big John, he's done a bit of kickboxing. And I don't mind ordinary boxing, but kickboxing, that's dangerous. All right, let's go to verse 17 then, please, this morning. Verse 17, and we're going to look at this second section as we are looking at it today. And we'll review a little bit of what we did yesterday. But in this second section, again, the focus is on the contender. What it means to contend for Christ and the character of the contender. And I think Pastor Jason did a beautiful job of that this morning, showing us the importance of the character of the contender. And showing that an unsaved woman, an unsaved husband can be won by the beautiful ministry of the wife. And I've known something of Jason's family and his beautiful mother and her testimony. What a blessing. Well, verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So this is indeed Jude, not an apostle himself, but a relative of apostles and a relative of our Lord Jesus, a man with authority and power as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that this is indeed an interesting character. Remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. We, as Christians, continue in the apostles' doctrine. And it's right here in the Word of God. It's not in Calvin's Institutes. I was in the Kurong bookshop the other day, and Calvin's Institute is bigger than any Bible I've ever seen. It's yay thick. And it's all the musings of the mind of a medieval thought of God. The musings of the mind, it's way more than the Word of God. And that worries me, because we need to take attention to the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God more than we do some theological book written by an ancient whose limited knowledge of God is overwhelming, a bit like Mr. Darwin and his limited knowledge of creation. Beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus. When we contend for the faith, we are not telling people our ideas. We are not getting into an argument with somebody about a bunch of ideas that we've got, and they've bounced their ideas against your ideas, and the result is another idea. You know, the method that people use of deducing truth, or trying to, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And so here we are to remember the words which were spoken by the apostles. We continue in the apostles' doctrine, and when we go out to witness for Christ and contend for the Lord, We are sharing the apostles' doctrine. And so therefore, in order to be able to contend, and that is to present the truth of God as revealed in his word, we need to know what we believe. You see, we are to remember the words of the apostles. Now, I don't know about you, but in order to remember something, you first got to put it in that brain. You with me?
Yeah.
You've got to put it in there to be able to remember it. Now, are you investing in that brain of yours the word of God, so the result will be godly outcomes and godly witness, and that you will be able to contend for the faith by sharing in a wonderful way the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the message that was given by the apostles. So remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should work after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. This is the apostates, they're sensual, having not the Spirit. And you will find them across the world. You will find them in pulpits of large churches, so-called. You will find them in unusual places. You will find them in the halls of the universities, of the colleges, Bible colleges even. You will find these types there. And you know, it's alarming how this can happen, how these can creep in, these apostates can creep in and occupy the chair of colleges and universities and be teaching things that are contrary to God and the Word of God. And you know, this is the thing, this is the last days. I told you that there should be mockers in the last times, in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They go aside to their own views and ways, and evil things. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto the love of God, unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Word of God, powerful Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, the Spirit of God would help us this morning. Lord, we need your help and we need your grace and we need your enabling. We need your power. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would have listening ears and open hearts to receive the word. And Lord, that you'd make a difference in our lives even this morning. Commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm doing is really a review of this book and to whet your appetite to read it and to study it and even to listen to those series by a pastor. I'm sure you'll get a great deal of help in the Christian life as you look at this book. We see that a contender then, Jude is a contender. So if you look at his life here, as you see in this book and the things that he teaches, these are lessons for contenders. These are ingredients that need to be found in the contender's life. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. He had a humble attitude. He was broken and yielded to the Lord, dead to self and alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of serving himself, now he's serving the Lord Jesus. Is that you? If you're going to be a contender for Christ, then you need to surrender and to be a servant of the Lord. And that requires humility. Right? Humility as we approach these challenging days. And as we approach people that, whose lives are a total wreck and who need help and who need to know God. And that's the answer, isn't it? In verse 3 there was our theme from our last message. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. So he thought initially he would write to them about the wonderful salvation we have in the Lord. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? Because certain men had crept in unawares. Apostates had crept in to the church that Jude was addressing to these believers. And they needed to contend. They needed to be able to fight against these things and get these things out of their church. And this is really the ministry that we need from the pulpit and from the membership, to contend for the Lord and to not to be contentious, but to share the truth of the Word of God with men and women and to point them to the Saviour and seek to bring them to a salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here are some things then this morning. We're starting really from verse 17. Remember the words of the apostles. Remember that. We continue in the apostles' doctrines. We are traditionalists in that sense, that we are continuing in the traditions of teaching that were given to us by the Lord. Now remember this too, beloved, that the apostles' doctrine is what the Lord Jesus taught them. So he taught them. It wasn't, again, their idea that they developed. The Lord Jesus had taught those men. And they then begin to write and to instruct the churches and win souls and build churches across the ancient world. And those churches then build other churches, and we have this modern day. So these men were taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that Jude says that he's a servant of the Lord Jesus. He's a relative of the Lord, actually. And he was convinced by the resurrection of the power of the Lord Jesus, and he himself became a saved man after that. And so he's used of the Lord to instruct us. So we need to remember some things. We need to speak from the Word of God, the Bible. That's the answer. The Bible is the answer. So that's so simple. We learnt that in Sunday school. Yeah, but don't forget it, I say. Do not forget it. Don't think that you know more than your Bible. Don't think that because you're 13, you're 15, or whatever it is, that you know more than your parents. You are only just learning how much you don't know at that age. So you better have your wits about you. Otherwise, you'd be swept off your feet. Major sins begin in people's lives at around about the age 13, believe it or not. And they get into bad habits in their sins that destroy their lives and waste a lot of good money and time chasing after this world's elusive dreams that are not true. So here then the disciple, the contender needs to remember the word of the Lord, and we need to know the Bible. We've just got to get into the word of God. Now also I'm finding now, 75 years old, I've forgotten things. I've got to get back into it. I've forgotten things. So I'm that way that when I preach, I don't pull out an old file and regurgitate what I put down 20 years ago. Although there is a place for that. I'm not knocking that. There is a place for that because doctrine is sound and it's not changing. So faithful teachers, such as Brother Weston Senior there and others that are teaching in the college program that we have at Northside on a Tuesday night and whenever, it's good to be in that. But when I preach a message, I want fresh oil, amen? Fresh oil, fresh manna. I picked it up in the morning. You know, my brother once was very sick in hospital, and they let him out on the Sunday to attend church. And he walked from where he was in hospital, he walked from there to Northside. And at Northside that Sunday morning, a guy called Peter Matthews was preaching. And my brother sat down toward the front. And when Peter Matthews came down to preach, he said, "Fresh manna, brother." Fresh manna. Give us the word of God, you know. But I find that I've got to go back over things. You forget things. And so you've got to continually refresh and renew and so on to bring a word that is appropriate for the time and the moment of opportunity that God wants his word brought. So the last time then is full of mockers. There are cynical people out there who are mocking. They mock God, they mock God's creation, they mock good people, they mock everything. They are disillusioned, and I'm trying to get the right word to describe them. They're disillusioned people that are skeptics, that's it. They're skeptical of everything, and their life is a misery. And in order to overcome the skepticism and the misery that they have, what do? Duck out to the Barossa and pick up another bottle. Come on. They do something. They don't have the Spirit of God, so they pick up a bit of that stuff. Cheer themselves up. You know, a lot of the bad legislation and so on that's been put through Canberra has been incubated down at the bar of the Federal Hotel. That's ungodly. That is ungodly, and to foust that upon the people, good people of the land, some of these legislations and so on. And they call it reform, but it's no reform, folks. It's a deform. It's a backward move. It's a downward move, a spiral downwards to the pits of hell. And the devil's laughing because he wants them to incarcerate as many people as possible into a burning hell where the hellfire is real and people are going to be suffering. And that is a real thing that is going to happen. Remember the word of God. Remember that there'll be skeptics that will come along and will mock you. And we must keep our composure as the people of God, and our sanity and our integrity as the people of God who are in the Word of God and who are sharing the Word of God and defending the faith. Defending the faith against the evils and the enemy Satan and his crowd that want to destroy the faith and destroy the church and destroy individual lives. So be careful of that. So then, these people, they separate themselves, they get aside, they're sensual. A lot of their philosophy and things that they're putting forward in the name of science, in the name of rationalism and so forth, a lot of it is a cloak for sensualism. Wickedness. There's that case being held now, and it's regrettable that the PM was held in account for the fact that a staffer in one of the offices committed a sinful act in an office after hours. And they're both drunk. And the PM, our previous PM, was held accountable for that by wicked people. It's just ungodly and inconscionable, and it's hard to believe that could be going on in those places. But it is. It's a cover-up. A lot of it is a cover-up for sexuality, evil and sin. And don't be swept off your feet by what's going on. It's not going to fly, and there is judgment coming. Judgment coming. And so it is that these people separate themselves, they get involved in these dark things of life, and that's how they live. And we as believers then are told to do something in verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Beloved, building up yourselves. We are to build up ourselves. Dear God, please build me up. I need help. Dear Lord, please help me.
Amen.
Hold on a minute. What did it say then? Hold on a minute. It said, building up yourselves. You want God to work in your life? Well, then you've got to do some building up. You've got to do some building up. You've got to get into the Word. You've got to build sound doctrine in your life. You've got to build convictions. You've got to build godly living. You've got to build up your lives. The devil wants to tear you down. He wants to wipe you out. And he's not interested in you being built up. I like that illustration about the scaffolding, how the parents put up the scaffolding and to help the young people develop, and then it's taken down and a solid building remains. We are to build up our lives. We are not to put into that building of our lives wood, hay and stubble, things that are going to be burnt up, rubbish. So many believers are putting up rubbish in their lives. And it'll be like that story we tell the kids, I'll huff and puff, the devil huffs and puffs and blows it down, just full of rubbish, and God will burn it up because it's full of rubbish. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? But we as believers are told to build ourselves up. There was a young journalist who was getting into journalism, and he began to think, well, and he was doing a bit of sports journalism, you know. And it's, by the way, that's business. That's a business now. It's not sport like it used to be. It's all a business. And a very wicked business, a lot of it. And ungodly and runs on Triple X. And that's not Minties, by the way. that's booze. This young journo, he decided, well, he was around the sports scene, and he thought, you know, these prize fighters, they make big bucks. He thought, maybe I'll try and get into that. So he booked into a boxing gym, and he started doing a bit of boxing, and they started training him up and so forth, and he thought, you know, I'd really like, if I make the big time, I can get the big bucks. So he got somebody to organise. He'd met up with him somewhere around the traps. He got someone to organise a little sparring round with Costa. Now, you know who Costa is. A lot of you are looking blank at me. Costa was a prize fighter that came from Europe, Russia or somewhere. With exceptional abilities in his boxing, and he's a champion, became a champion. And so this young journalist got these people to organise a bit of a round with Costa. And Costa's very serious about his business and so forth, and this young journo got in the ring with him after 3 months of training. And he was looking a bit of a skinny looking thing, not that fit after 3 months. And he got in the ring with Costa. And Costa sort of, you know, humoured him a bit for the first time and a bit of this and that. And then he thought, well, you know, this is wasting time. I've got to get this sorted out. So he got serious with this young fella. And he started really going at it. And bang, The guy didn't know what in the world to do, how to defend himself at all, and Costa put one on him, knocked him right across. He hit the ropes on the other side of the ring, bounced off and back over the other side, and landed flat on his face on the mat, completely out to it. Costa got out of the ring very quickly and got out of there. It was just rubbish, really, just rubbish. What was wrong? That fellow was not built up ready. He was not built up and ready, and he was wiped out with one decent punch. So, you know, he's still a young upstart of a journo trying to make it in life and get this money. So he says to somebody, can you make a time and I'll sit with Costa and have a chat to him, you know, and see how I can really, what I can do, you know, how I can really do this. So he made a time to sit with Costa, and Costa said, he said, well, what do I need to do? He said, you know, I just about killed you in that ring. I thought that you knew how to defend yourself, how to do this. I thought that you knew the rules of engagement and so forth. When you get in the ring with somebody, there's rules. You can't just do anything in there. There's rules to what you can do and can't do, and who can and can't. He said, you know, son, you need to build yourself up if you're going to do this. You've got to build yourself up. And number two, it would be good if you knew how to punch. So that ended his boxing career very quickly. But that young upstart realized right there and then that it's a serious business. As believers in Christ, if we are going to be contenders and get in the fight, which is what it is, it's a fight of defending the faith against the enemy, against opposition views, if we're going to be able to share with them, we need to build ourselves up in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God. So the challenge this morning is build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Do something about it. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Bible college courses. Get into reading and studying and preparing and getting to know what it means to contend for the faith. So that when you come up against Big John, amen? It's a reminder there. You won't forget Big John in a hurry if you bump into him in the church hallway. Be careful. So I know that he'll be all the more on the guard. Yeah, that's it. I know, he's a toothless tiger. Big John. I call this young Andrew, I call him Smiley. He just smiles at me all the time, and I think, oh yeah, I wonder if he'd be smiling at me when he's, you know, I'll be in the glory land, he won't be able to get to me. But, so that young journo learned a lesson that day, and he stuck to his journalism. He's become a famous, I'm telling you a true story, this is all something recent that I heard, and he's become a famous author worldwide, that fella, but he's not doing any boxing anymore. And let me tell you and remind you, young people, young and old, all of us, please, we're in a battle. We're in a warfare. We need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Notice that, the holy faith. We need to be holy as he is holy. We need to trust in the Lord and to stick to the faith of the gospel as it is in the Word of God. And to stand as contenders for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God wants us to do and to be. It's serious business. We can be a contender for the Lord. And we don't have time to go into what that would involve, because that's a whole subject in itself, what we need to be and do as contenders for Christ. But we can't go there. We don't have time to go there. But we need the word of God, we find then in verse 17. And now also praying in the Holy Ghost. All of the commentators that I looked up, and again I've had several months and I've looked up all manner of commentators, all of them point out one thing. This is not speaking in tongues. It is not. Praying in the Spirit is nothing to do with gibberish and jabber that the person saying it doesn't even know. That's not praying, beloved. That is not praying. When somebody's making a lot of noise and gibberish to themselves, and that noise is getting no higher than the ceiling, doubt if it's even getting up there. That's not praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost is identifying with the Spirit of God and with our great God and the ministry that He has for us in presenting the truth of God and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit maketh utterance to the Father in deep tones that could not be understood by man. The Spirit of God works through us when we are praying in the Holy Ghost. And by the way, that cannot be done with a quick 5-minute prayer as we rush out the door to work. Sort of, see you later, Lord, I've got a busy day. What sort of praying is that? But this is the kind of praying where a believer alone with the Lord senses the Spirit of God working, laying a burden for souls upon him, laying the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ and the character of God in the depths of the heart as we cry out to God. For the Spirit's power and enabling. There are two things. You see, praying just by itself will not get the job done. There needs to be, in verse 17, the Word of God and the prayer of God's children. That's the way to be built up. That's the way. The only way you can be built up in the Word of God and in prayer as you seek the Lord's face to do a work in and through you so that you can be what you should be. And when you confront a Goliath that is breathing out slaughterings against the Lord. And let's face it, there's some bogans out there and some animalistic types out there. You know, there's Satan as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's a spiritual battle. It's a warfare going on. And we are contending against and seeking to defend against that and to snatch souls. So keep yourselves. I think that's also building up yourselves. In verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus. If you're going to be a contender for Christ and seek to win souls, you are going to need a lot of love. I mean Calvary love. I mean sacrificial, biblical, holy, godly love for people. Our Lord loved us, so we were undeserving. He went to Calvary, he sacrificed, he gave everything for us. And this is certainly the heart of missions. The heart of missions, do you love God? Does he want to do a work through you to love the unlovely, to love souls? So keep yourselves in the love of God. Be reminded of that as you go forward to contend for Christ. As you go out knocking on doors, as you go witnessing, as you speak for people in the daily round, keep yourselves in the love of God. You're going to need that. Because these pesky waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars to whom are reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These types out there, spots on your face, clouds without water. These ones are fruit trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You're going to confront with that sort of thing out there in the contending ministry. You're going to need a lot of love. You're going to need it. You're going to need it in verse 2, mercy. Unto you, peace and love be multiplied. You're going to need a huge amount of love for the souls of men and women that you will be confronting out there in this wicked day. Earnestly contend with a lot of love. Don't worry. Stranger things than this have happened while I've been preaching. We haven't had any feedback all morning. Now we're getting it right now at this crucial part of the message. Maybe it's the Lord trying to underscore what I'm saying at the moment, the value and importance of it. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves. Oh, but you know, it's tough. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Love God and let him love others through you. That's what it's all about. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's glory. Amen. That's future prospect there as well as current. Amen. Our position in Christ, who we are as saved people, that should strengthen us when we're standing to contend. Verse 22, some have compassion. See, this love of Christ working through us gives us compassion for individuals. That's a love reaching out and overrunning ourselves for his glory. We should be dead to self and identify with Christ in the cross. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live in the life that I never live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Died to self. Friends, if you want to be brothers and sisters, you want to be used by the Lord, you want to teach Sunday school, you want to do any ministry at all, be dead. It's not about you. Focus, you wonder how you're going to do it, focus on the message. Not yourself. And do justice to that message to present it with a lot of love and compassion upon those that you are seeking to win, upon those that you are seeking to enter into and to engage in a time of sharing and contention. Give them the word of God. Let your emotions and your spirit be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let the love of Christ work through you, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, mercy, all those things. Let the Spirit of God work through you. It's not you. It's God working in and through you. Remember that. So have compassion, making a difference. It's amazing what love can do and how taking the gospel to people, how it can transform lives. It can make a difference. It's still powerful, the gospel, and it is still so needed in this day and age. A great evangelist called Billy Graham, some of you have heard of him, haven't you? Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists that come out of the fundamental movement. But unfortunately, he got caught up with his board, his theological board. And they took the cutting edge out of his message and the convicting message about sin and judgment and the lost estate of man. And they said, you can't say that anymore. You'll offend people. They won't come to the meetings. So he withdrew that kind of thing. What happened? Less people came. The devil was laughing. And finally he had to pack up that kind of ministry altogether. No one would come out and souls were not saved. Many souls were saved when they heard the true gospel. Once it started to backslide and to compromise and to accept the words of these apostates, his ministry began to fail. So there's something there for us. I threw that in. That didn't cost you anything. Number 23, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Some people are really caught up and they're on fire. The fires of hell in their lives. Are you one of them? You go, I'm pretty cool, I just do my thing. And the devil says, yeah, I got you.
Try.
I got you. You're not doing your thing at all. You're doing exactly what I want you to do. And in due course, you'll say, see you later, God, I got my life. I got my life to live. And Jude reminds us about the judgment to come, amen. You go and live your own life and do your own thing and neglect God, forget God, you're not saved. You wind up in a devil's hell for sure. It's so clear. And you'll be in a living hell before you get there, by the way. With that kind of lifestyle, and you think you're cool. God knows you're not, and you'll be getting hot. Amen. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. As I tell you many times when I prepare messages, I look at a lot of commentators. I see what they're saying because I want to say the right thing, amen? I don't want to just go off my own idea. I want to know that I'm sticking to the Word of God and I'm within the framework of the truth of the Word of God. And I'm not just saying what I think. I want to bring out the Word of God and save it to be pulling them out of the fire. These dear people out there that are in sin, they're going down. And we need to do what we can to pull them out of the fire. Run a rescue shop outside the gates of hell and seek souls. Be careful in that, dear friend, dear believer. You better be very careful. You're playing with fire. There's fire there. And many a believer has given up and gotten discouraged, turned away from the Lord, because in the soul-saving, soul-winning business, they have found it so hard and seeking to pull people out of the fire that they can soon go down if they're not careful. They don't stay in touch with the Spirit of God and abide in Christ. It says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, friends, brothers and sisters, let me be honest with you. Hating the garments. Of all the commentators that I read except one, they all said rubbish about this verse. They did not apply the literal method of interpretation about in this verse, and they jumped over it. What does it say? Hating even the what? Spotted by the flesh. Does the Bible say anything about what we're supposed to be wearing? Oh no. Fashions. I've got to be the fashions. Fashion will make a fool of you, friends, brothers and sisters. It'll make you ridiculous. And you'll be so ungodly. Not only that, skin cancer is very real. Very real. Hating the garments spotted by the flesh. Garments. One of the commentators said, oh, this is talking about a false facade people put on. You know, we ought to hate the false facade people put on. That's not what my Bible says. It says hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Certain garments, friends, are spotted by the flesh. And what's going to be happening is a lot of flesh is going to be sticking out. And with the gay agenda as well. Gentlemen, you need to be careful as well, please. The gay agenda is very wicked, believe me. And they're out there to show off as much as possible. Without getting the man in blue throwing him in the clink straight away. But they're working on that, bringing it down. And we need to be very careful. Garments spotted by the flesh. Armpits showing. And all the rest of it. Brother Weeks and I would, Brother Weeks, the evangelist, him and I would, during the mornings of the meetings that we would have with him, we would visit contacts known to us, to invite them out to the meeting. And I would take Brother Weeks with me to meet them the evangelists meet the people in their homes and then invite them out. It was a warm summer's morning. And we knocked on this door, and finally no one came. And then as we were walking up this steep driveway, a person appeared, a woman appeared. And about all she was wearing was a cockatoo on her shoulder. Brother Weeks and I, we hated the garment spotted by the flesh. We got out of there. Put on your running shoes, brother. We got out of there as fast as we could. At first we said, we want to see you at the meeting. You need to be there. She showed up. Praise God. And God then began working in her life. And she began wearing some clothes. That was a good thing. Praise God, because she was heading in the wrong direction, believe me, the way she was going and what she was wearing. Garments are spotted by the flesh. Check them out. Check them out. Tight fitting, low cut, high cut, everything that the devil wants to do. One year he'll put them down, the next year he'll bring them up. That's fashion. That's how they sell it. That's how they sell it. And the stuff that people are getting out there wearing, they're going to a footy presentation. It's wicked. It's ungodly. And then, if some bloke gets after them, it's all his fault. When they put them out there, put themselves out there, welcoming people to come in. How ungodly that is. We hate the flesh. We hate the garment spotted by the flesh. So soul winning and contending for the faith is a dangerous business, because you can be confronted with the most ungodly things possible. The same with sisters knocking on the door. Open the door and a man is most immodest. Put your running shoes on, honey. Don't stand there talking to him. Just throw the invitation at him and take off. There you go. See you later. And you know one thing, you can be back next year and knock the door again. Keep that in mind, soul winning door knockers. We're coming back. We're coming back. And so anyway, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Back to that verse 20, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. You need to be built up so that you can deal with matters when you are seeking to contend for the faith and witness for the Lord. And I want to remind you at Northside now, there are a number of different people that God has given us in the congregation that are absolute brilliant at certain areas of contending for the faith. So if you find somebody that wants to talk science, well, you make a time to come back with a scientist, amen? Make him work for Brother Curry there. If you've got somebody with problems, salvation problems and so on, make a time and you're coming back with pastor. You know? And somebody else that's got the expertise that is built up to deal with that. Just throw that in. I missed that before, but throw that in. You know, and the final thing here that I want to say today is that you're not going by yourself. You're not going by yourself. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And I thought of another funny situation that I was out door knocking and my legs aren't going too well anymore. And had to go up steps in front of this place. I went up the steps, tried to go, you know, up the steps, tripped on the top one, splat! And the pastor's daughter was with me. She's just a little mite, and she was carrying all the tracks. And I went splat, you know, everything. Don't worry, pastor, just get up. Don't worry, she said, just get up. Let's keep going. Praise the Lord. And to him that is able to keep you from falling, and though a just man... Though a just man falls seven times, the Lord can lift him up. Amen? But you're not going out there alone. Dear friends, the devil's going to make you feel very lonely out there. I remember one night when I was out in the middle of winter with our team, and I was an odd man out, as we had seven. We were all packed in the one car, and we went to this particular area, and I was the odd man out. I said, "Well, I'll trust the Lord is with me. I'll go alone." Last door I knocked on. There's all this whole going around the whole block. Nothing. Last door I knocked on. Lovely lady came. Told her about the church and we were nearby and everything. We're just a block away. "Well, I can't come this Sunday, but I'll be there next Sunday." Woo! Glory to God. "Thank you, Lord." And I thought, well, the devil said, "Yeah, you've heard that before." She said, "But I'll organise for the grandkids to come up this Sunday for Sunday school. I'll organise for them to come up. They'll walk because they don't live far away. And single mum, you know, they'll come over." So anyway, Paul and Jody showed up. And anyone that you... Of course, Paul got saved and he's now a preacher. He's preaching the word of God in an independent church in Brisbane. And he got saved. But about 30 people out of that family got saved. Thank God for a night when I felt alone, but the Lord was with me. And he blessed that endeavour and the endeavours of the other men as well, by the way. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Soul winners, workers for the Lord, every one of us, realise this when you're going out. Lord's with you. He can keep you from falling. He can present you faultless. That's pretty good, isn't it? Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And verse 25, "To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever." Folks, go there. Go to these verses when you're feeling lonely and when you're out there seeking to contend. Or think about them while you're working at this job. While you're doing the difficult thing, you're not alone. The Lord is with you. Hide behind the cross. Remember that the Lord is with you. And you are speaking for his glory. He's a powerful God. And we'll meet him by and by. So, get involved in the contending work. And if you meet Big John, don't worry. Just give me a call. I'll drive up to his place. If he's on a steep drive, I'll drive right up the top and park right in front of his door. And together, we could talk to Big John. Don't be intimidated, but be a contender for the faith, and God will richly bless you. The Lord is with you in the task. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." So go and be a contender for the Lord. And in the glory land, you'll rejoice because you'll meet up with some people there. But to start with, you had a real fight on your hands, but God saved them and you meet up with them in the glory. Thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and thank you for the opportunity. Help us, Lord, then to be contenders. Not just sitting on our comfort chair, on our comfy lounge or couch or lazing about, but Lord, on the job. Help us to be contenders, to fight the good fight of faith and to look forward to the glorious day when we will meet you in the air. The battle will be over. We shall be ever with the Lord. Please bless us then and the whole church family. Thank you for the camp and all that you're doing in this time. We pray you continued working and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you for that challenge from the Word of God and wonderful verses there in the book of Jude. And what I love about the book of Jude is it not only deals with